Time now to have a chat to our cricket expert, Sydney Morning Herald journalist Chris Barrett, but he also writes rugby league. He's a bit versatile, our man Chris, so we might ask him a question or two about that as well. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Jimmy. Yeah, very poor all-rounder. I bat at seven and bowl a couple of overs here.
Bat at seven. That's not too bad. Hey, Chris, I've got to ask you about your back page story today about Matt Lodge's return to the Brisbane Broncos. I think everyone's happy to see a rehabilitation process complete, but there are still some things to clear up from his, I guess you'd call it a rampage, in New York City back in 2015.
Yeah, you certainly would call it a rampage, I think. I mean, I'm not going to go into the details, I suppose. It was a home invasion and people were left pretty terrified. There were some questions worth asking, I thought, about his return to the competition. I spoke to the lawyer who represents the four victims of that incident in 2015, late last week, and he revealed that they hadn't received a cent of the $1.6 million in damages that they were awarded in a civil action against Matthew Lodge that followed on from that incident. So, that is an outstanding thing for him in a way. It hasn't stopped the NRL from registering him. They're absolutely convinced that he is deserving of a second chance. He's turned his life around. He's quit alcohol. He's started university and he's become a dad as well. And this is a game, obviously, that likes a redemption story. We've seen Russell Packer back in the competition. There's many other examples. But this one, I suppose, is an interesting sidelight in that this money is still owed. Clearly, he's only on about $85,000 a year at the Broncos. He'd be battling to pay it at the moment. But the lawyer who I spoke to in the US was disappointed and said the victims were disappointed that there appeared to be no commitment towards beginning paying it at the very least. So it's one of those controversial topics. Whether a civil action in the US is even relevant to Australia. You know, some people may argue that, you know, he doesn't need to pay it because he's out of that jurisdiction, and certainly the NRL are saying it's got nothing to do with them. But I'm sure there's others that would argue that the victims should be compensated for what they went through.
Yeah, that's the NRL seems to, if it's a civil matter, they seem to be a lot less, I suppose, or interest is not the right word, a lot less, probably a little bit more lenient with a civil action rather than a criminal action. Moving away from rugby league, the T20's on, the final Australia will take on New Zealand on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and yeah, the best of the big bash against the Kiwis again, and back to Eden Park. I don't know, I haven't been that as carried away as everyone else about that big scores the other day. I suppose I've seen that a thrilling low-scoring game in Eden Park, that 2015 World Cup game.
Yeah, sure.
It's, you know, 150 odds. But I just think because of the configuration of the ground, and you know, you can get nicks for six over there. I mean, I realise it was very exciting and record-breaking in a sense, but I don't know. I'm not sure whether there should be an asterisk or not. But I mean, in terms of the venue. But moving on to the actual final. Australia gets the opportunity to leap from seventh to first on the world rankings, which probably tells you everything you need to know about the T20 international world rankings.
Yeah. Wow.
So, look, it is a great achievement in terms of that they've really seemed to get it together as an international T20 side for the first time in a long time. I do note Trevor Bayliss' comments last night where he said that, you know, Australia have benefited from the fact that these blokes have been playing T20 cricket for the last 6 weeks in the Big Bash, whereas the England and New Zealand players have been playing other formats.
Yeah.
Certainly a valid point. So it would be interesting to see how they go when there's another T20 international campaign, which doesn't run directly after a domestic tournament.
Mm.
Obviously, the other interesting thing will be in the future, you know, whether Steve Smith comes back into the side.
Yeah. Do we even care? Like, just going back to Eden Park, who cares whether a bowler averages or has got a run rate that's, economy rate that's a bit higher because they play at these grounds when more and more spectators get entertained by the big hitting?
Yeah, I don't particularly care. I don't think anyone's going over those figures, Jimmy. I suppose I just mean, you know, saying that the record happened here and that, I mean, you've got to keep in mind the dimensions of the ground, you know. in terms of looking at it in the future. But look, it's still phenomenal entertainment.
Absolutely.
People that go to these games, this is what they want to see, you know, the ball flying over the fence. So in that sense, no, it doesn't matter a jot, really. But, you know, in terms of, I suppose, Australia's long-term goals and everything, it's been a great performance this series. It's been that area in that format where they've really done nothing in recent years. And I suppose if there wasn't a World T20 tournament in Australia in a couple of years, it would still be a format that was a bit of an afterthought. But it is considered a bit of a priority in the next couple of years simply because they're hosting that tournament. So it's nice to see they seem to have got their ducks in a row in terms of what sort of side they want. Now they've just got to work out how many of those top-line Australian guys they want to try and feed back in there.
Mm. South Africa, you're headed off there. Anticipation is high for that. I'm still worried about Davey Warner, but the rest of the team has landed and getting ready for conditions.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm going there Monday week. I'll probably get there just after Davey Warner by the sound of it. I think he gets there a bit earlier, but they play a three-day game in a town called Benoni from Thursday, which is on the outskirts of Johannesburg. It's been pretty quiet over there. Steve Smith did his pre-series press conference yesterday and did the old predictions of bouncer barrages towards tail enders and such. I suppose the only difference is this time Australia's tail enders are going to have to face, you know, Rabada and the like rather than Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad on Australian tracks. So the ramifications for actually bouncing their tail might be a little bit more stiff for Australia's own lower order batsmen. We'll see. But, yeah, look, they're feeling each other out, these sides, aren't they? There's still a couple of fitness issues on the South African side. And, you know, Australia will want to get in there and play a bit of red ball cricket for the first time in a little while.
Yeah, they certainly will. Chris, as always, mate, thank you for your time this morning. We'll catch you again, and we'll catch you again throughout the course of the rugby league season and also the tour of South Africa with the Australian cricket team.
Thanks, guys.